Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Man, hope you're having a great day. The Doug Gottlieb Show is brought to you by Farmers. At Farmers, we've seen almost everything, so we know how to cover almost anything. When it's game time, have the experienced player help you stay at the game. Put their experience into play at Farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba, da,
bum, bum, bum. Quick welcome back to John Ramos, who is now another one, not just in terms of family members, but also in terms of age. Ramos, great to hear you. Good to see you, man.
Plus three, Doug.
Plus three.
Yes.
How is life in the Ramos household with all them chillins?
It's up early, go to bed late, all this stuff, yeah. Jonah likes to keep us up a lot, so, but he's a good boy.
All right, that's awesome. So if you're just joining us, John Ramos, our technical director, his wife gave birth to Jonah, and he took the state-mandated 6-month paternity leave. Man, so many things. Antonio Brown was a Raider and then a Patriot, all within the time which he was gone.
A lot of sports went on, Doug.
Yes, I mean he missed so much. But good to have back. Plus, he celebrated a birthday last week, and happy birthday to you, John. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. The big news of the day, well, twofold, is that two of the legendary quarterbacks from the same draft class, Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, both out. Roethlisberger out for the season. And curious timing, as the Steelers had traded their third quarterback, Josh Dobbs, just last week to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mason Rudolph, the Oklahoma State alum, the former third-round pick, is now the starter. And Ben Roethlisberger's out for the year, needs elbow surgery. That's on his throwing elbow. Then you have Drew Brees, and Brees' injury is, we don't know how bad it is. It is surgery on his thumb, and it should be pointed out that that was because I believe he hit Aaron Donald on the helmet with his hand. So it was hand to hand? Yeah, hand to hand. So he hit Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald's a big, strong man, and Drew Brees is hurt. And so this is not as much a wear and tear injury. But the Big Ben injury, the Drew Brees injury, heck, even Phillip Rivers, who threw just an awful interception late yesterday in a very winnable game for the Chargers, it points out a couple of things. First, I would encourage people not to tell me that Tom Brady playing into his 40s is going to become the norm. Tom Brady playing in his 40s, as well as he's playing in his 40s, only points out that he's an outlier. It's a lot like when people expect you to come back from an ACL injury and be like Adrian Peterson. There's only one Adrian Peterson. That's why he's a first ballot Hall of Famer as a running back. That's why Tom Brady's a first ballot Hall of Famer and in the conversation, to some people's estimate, the greatest of all time. A lot of people's estimation, greatest of all time. Right? So before we sit there and go, well, you know, Brady can do it. Secondly, if we're being honest about Brady, he did fade down the stretch. And because Brady has been willing to take less money, he has been surrounded by better players. And they get rid of the ball exceptionally quickly. He's a different player than a Ben Roethlisberger. But as quarterbacks' careers continue to extend, and look, another quarterback from that exact same draft, Eli Manning, not named the starter for week 3. He wasn't named the backup, but Pat Shurmur did something really weird today, in which he came out and he said, we are not naming a starter. Like, okay, well, we've penciled in Eli Manning for the last decade. We're just not going to pencil in, with the exception of that one time, which ultimately caused everybody to get fired. Seems to let you believe he knows where this thing is going. But look, there's a couple of different things with older quarterbacks. First thing is, there's a continuum, right? And in the continuum, there's arm talent and athleticism, and on the other side, there's football IQ. And with every game, you're going to gain football IQ. That's just going to grow the experience. You've seen everything. You've done everything. You know how everything works. All that is, in fact, good. Just grows, 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 grows. But you're, as you cross over 30 years old, 32 years old, 33 years old, 34, 35, suddenly your arm talent, your overall athletic talent is going to wane. That's very normal. And so I would tell you that, you know, whether it was Philip Rivers thinking he had the arm of 28-year-old Philip Rivers, or whether it's Drew Brees thinking he could get rid of it quicker than Aaron Donald could get his hand up, or it's Ben Roethlisberger breaking down, these quarterbacks who have, like, Big Ben's always been dinged up, but for the most part, he plays 14, 15 a year, right? Eli Manning's literally never missed a start. Philip Rivers tore his ACL, never missed a start. That's crazy. These guys remind me of my wife's favorite SUV. So, my wife never gave in to the minivan thing, although I will say this. Minivans, incredibly handy, right? They just are. I mean, they got everything. They got pockets for everything. They got a pocket you can put a kid in. It's just amazing. You just stuff a kid in there, and then you get to where you go, where's that? Where's Jimmy? Oh, he's in that little pocket. Oh, there's Jimmy. What'd you do in there, Jimmy? Right? But she would never do the minivan thing. So we started before kids with a Highlander. Right? Then she worked her way to, I think, a Lexus SUV. But then after we had twins, we had the third one. We felt like we had to get the traditional three rows one, right? Three rows deep. And she got this in the big Infiniti one, right? And it was sweet, right? Big rims. I mean, it actually looked cool and was cool. And, you know, look, I did research and reading, and I was like, this thing ain't going to break down. And you know what? We had that thing from 2011 until 2017, and we never had one issue with it. Not one. But the second the extended warranty was about, I think it was about to wear off or whatever, like, we had one issue, and then the drivetrain went, and everything got replaced for free, like, cost us nothing. But we were like, okay, we're good. Because even the best made cars, eventually you put enough miles on them and something's going to break. And once you get something that breaks on an older vehicle, it becomes, one, more expensive to fix because sometimes the parts aren't made as readily. And two, you fix one thing and something else breaks. And you fix that and something else breaks. You fix that and something else breaks. Like, we don't just get new cars because you love the new car smell. You don't just get new. I mean, why else would you? The idea you would just buy a new car because the new car smell, like, it's a depreciating asset. The second you drive it off the lot, it just plummets in value. And then eventually it stabilizes at like 6 or 7 years. Then, like basically, unless you have 250,000 miles, everything's worth between $5,000 and $15,000, right? Even the best made cars break down, even the best made quarterbacks who throw from the pocket, a position where it's the safest place to be on a football field, is in the pocket. Right? It's like, do you remember the movie Legend of Bagger Vance? And Will Smith said, you know, I think the safest place to be is standing right in the fairway, right in front of you, because you never hit the ball straight. That's how I feel about the pocket. But this is the issue with the older quarterbacks get. And I would get Drew Brees' bad luck. Right? But what's to say that the throwing thumb doesn't not tear if he's 25 years old? Maybe it's just a sprain. Maybe he ices it, puts stim on it, and he's back next week. But the fact is, we all know this as we get older. Injuries are harder to come back from, takes you longer to come back from, and you're more likely to injure yourself even rehabbing or coming back the older you get. That's just how your body works. And so while we're in this era of this group of older quarterbacks thinking these guys can play forever, this is a stark reminder of it's not true. Right? Deshaun Watson's in his early 20s. he's torn his ACL twice. He had to take a bus to Jacksonville last year because he had a collapsed lung. Right. And look, he's back running around like he's good as new. Now, when you're in your 30s and the exact same thing happens, you're out for a couple of months. And by the time you come back, something else breaks down. So I know we're in this weird place where quarterbacks feel like they can play forever. But Adam Vinatieri, has he retired yet? Feels like he's going to retire? Like a guy who never misses anything suddenly can't make a kick? Whether it's your skill set just diminishing, you may have that football IQ, but your body won't let you do it. Or your body breaking down in weird ways. Whatever it is, you get to your mid to late 30s and you're not the same. Hey man, I never got hurt playing basketball. I might play thousands and thousands and thousands of games. Pickup games, practices, literally never hurt. Had a little sciatic thing my sophomore year in high school. That's it. I missed two practices in my entire life. They were both where I showed up at practice, but I had the flu. And my coach sent me home my senior year in college. That's it. I got to 35, and I'm playing basketball, and all of a sudden I pulled my hamstring. And then, you know, it's like a once every 6 month thing. And look, I've gone about, you know, doing yoga, being more flexible, being lighter, so maybe that wouldn't happen as much. But it's still in the back of my mind because that's what happens when you get older. And so while we can celebrate Tom Brady's longevity, and it's amazing, we also have to realize he lost some arm strength. He lost some pop. He's surrounded with a perfect offense where he gets rid of the football, and now they've put even more personnel, and they've taken the burden off him last year by running the football. Even then, it was 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions in the playoffs last year. And he's still an outlier. The norm is Ben Roethlisberger. The norm is Eli Manning. The norm is Drew Brees.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Our next guest, of course, is Super Bowl champion, longtime NFL analyst, and currently the head coach at Lipscomb Academy. You can follow him on social media at LA Mustang FB. Only high school football team with a full-time nutritionist, academic coach, NFL strength coach, best high school weight room in the country, barbershop, 3,000 square foot concert venue. Man, I mean, it's just this unbelievable deal. And so that's what Trent's done. He's gone from being an analyst to being taking his savant skills to high school football at Lipscomb Academy. Again, it's at LA Mustang FB. TD joins us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. I went through to start the day on, it feels like 10 teams almost are done. Do we put the Steelers in that mix of teams that are done with Roethlisberger out?
Yeah, I hate playing that game. I do the same thing, though. I don't like it, but it's like you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel for some teams after 2 weeks. The Steelers are definitely there. I mean, I was just going through it. You have a bunch of possession-type players. You really don't have a bunch of juice on offense. Ben's kind of was the one that gave him juice. Now he's done, so you have second-year quarterback and Mason Rudolph working with good football players, but no, you know, there's no beep-beep out there. There's no game-breakers. There's no massive difference-makers. Juju's a great football player, but he's not Antonio Brown. He's not a guy that can just, you know, blow the top off the thing and make it all happen by himself. And Connor's a good back, not a great back. And the tight end's a good player, not a great player. And then defensively, they're not that great. Now, they'll play hard. They have great culture. They'll do a lot of good things. But I'm with you. I think, you know, it's 6-10, 5-11 for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You know, one of the things I'm struggling with, Trent, is level of competition, right? Like, I think Lamar Jackson has been spectacular, but I also think they've beaten two of the five worst teams in the NFL. Dolphins, far and away, the worst. I look at Buffalo and what they did to the Giants, and I like Josh Allen, his improvement, but I'm also realize who they played against, as opposed to some other teams that played against better competition. Aaron Rodgers, Bears on the road, Vikings at home. Let's start with Lamar. What can we expect when they play real teams like this weekend in Kansas City?
Well, first, I agree with you, and that's why the first 4 weeks of the season, I just, every year I say this, and every year people roll their eyes, but I think you really have to look at it this way. It's the preseason still. They just, you don't know anything about these teams until after 4 weeks. But as you're looking at Lamar Jackson, as he gets to face stiffer competition, I still think it's going to be a big issue for defenses facing this offense. And just trying to, you know, not give a long Dilfer answer, a Reader's Digest answer would be, when you have a power run game, physical offensive line, multiple tight end sets, a quarterback that can gash you at the run and push it down the field and beat peep speed and all the misdirection that you have going on, it's about as good as mixture on first and second down as you're going to find. And it's safe. You know, there's not a lot of risk you take. Practicing for it's going to be a nightmare. You make one mistake in a gap and they kill you with the quarterback run. You make one mistake in the secondary and, you know, they got fast guys that are going to get on top of you. You miss one tackle and it's a home run. It's just a really, really dangerous offense to play against. It's really a Saturday offense with Sunday power run game. And it's, I've always thought, going back to the time in San Francisco when they were doing it pretty well, that this is the, and then Washington Redskins did a little bit, like this is the ultimate first and second down NFL offense right now.
Trent Dilfer joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. The Giants came out today and said they're not naming a starting quarterback. That does not bode well. Let's start first with Eli Manning. How by your estimation is he playing?
Well, I haven't seen every snap of the Giants because I don't want to get sick to my stomach. So, I mean, they're just bad on defense, too. So you're always playing from behind. And I think that's the story when you're talking about the quarterback situation. Everybody wants to make it a Daniel Jones, Eli Manning discussion when I'm going to make it a defensive discussion. When you can't play defense, that means offensively you're playing from behind. That means you are in known pass situations. That means their ears are pinned back and they are hunting the quarterback. I don't know if you throw Daniel Jones into that situation where he's going to be playing in a lot of games where they're hunting. Now, you do have a great back you can hand it off to and throw it around, but still you're going to face, I'm just coming up with an arbitrary number, 12 to 18 known pass situations when you're traveling. That's 12 to 18 plays that even the best quarterbacks don't love. And now you have a rookie quarterback going through those. So I think that's one thing they got to take into account. The other thing is when you've won two Super Bowls and your last name's Manning, you deserve a certain level of grace as you exit. And I bet you the organization is considering that too. Like, how do we do this the best possible way? How do we transition the best possible way? Because the guy's earned. He's got enough pelts on the wall. He's earned a nice exit out, not a week three benching.
Yeah. So, but it makes it really weird that they just wouldn't say, no, Eli's our starter, and then go from there. But they didn't do that.
Yeah, I think it's been handled poorly today, to be honest with you.
Seems to be handled poorly there on a consistent basis. Trent Dilfer joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, tonight we're going to see the Browns and the Jets. Obviously, the Jets, a team that, you know, without their quarterback and with so many other issues, in addition to the fact I'm not sure how great they were to begin with, but they would have been a good team. It feels like a great opportunity for the Browns to fix some things. What most needs to be fixed with their offense?
Patience, you know, just doing the boring things that nobody's going to recognize, doing them well, being balanced, taking what the defense gives them, not trying to hit home runs every play, get the ball out quick, protect your offensive line. You know, I think Odell Beckham Jr. is one of the greatest short, you know, what do you call it? Like the slant home run players, a short passing game receiver that can do something after the catch. Why not throw it to him in 1.9 seconds instead of dropping back, bouncing around four times and just trying to take home runs, hit home runs? I think the more they do that, the better they're going to be. Your efficiency will go up. You have a good defense. They'll play better. It's about winning. It's not about the sizzle. It's not about all the splash plays. I think if they have that mentality, they're going to be just fine. And this is a get-right week with Sam Darnold being out with mono. And I think the Jets are good on defense. I don't think they're great on defense. I think it's a really good opportunity for the Browns to get right.
How did Carson Wentz play last night? Wentz had that throw to Aguilar, which could have have won them the game. It went through his hands and did not. Ertz was a little bit short of the first down as they're trying to drive down and take the lead, down 24-20 at the end of the game. But he did have two first-half turnovers, two first-half interceptions. You see the game so differently. How did Carson Wentz play?
Terrible early on. It just didn't look like he was right. Second half, he played great. It looked like he just had the let it rip mentality. You know, it looked like he was a little careful early on, a little, I don't want to say confused. You never know if they're confused or not. I hate it when people said that about me, but it just seemed like he wasn't seeing it well in the first half. And then the second half, it cleared up, and he was ripping fire over the place. I thought he played really well in the second half. And like you said, dropped the dime that got dropped and, you know, really kept him in the game. If they don't play cover zero on the wide receiver screen at the end, they win that game. So I thought Carson, he showed what he showed in week one in the second half. But, boy, he started off really, really rough.
What about Jimmy Garoppolo? He had another interception, but they scored at 41-17 over Cincinnati on the road. What's your assessment of Jimmy G?
You know, Jimmy G's interesting, and when he got traded, you know, I remember saying this, everybody thinks they're going to get a Brady clone, kind of that conservative, precise, intermediate, you know, death by a thousand cuts guy, and that's not who Jimmy G is. Jimmy G is a straight gunslinger. I mean, you go back and watch his college tape, even when he played for the Patriots at times, preseason games. I mean, he loves to push the ball down the field. He loves to take chances. So you're going to have a ton of big splash plays with him, and I think turnovers are going to be like a Jameis Winston type situation where you always think you're always trying to make the big play. You're always being overly aggressive. I think that's kind of Jimmy G's DNA, and it's going to be something I have to keep a close eye on because you're going to see a ton of good. You just got to make sure those interceptions don't come at the wrong times and cost your ball game.
What do you make of Aaron Rodgers and his head coach having a back and forth during the game?
I love it. I mean, I'm just a fan of conflict in football teams. Even at the high school level, we encourage our kids to have healthy conflict and get it out. Without conflict, there's no growth. When you start holding stuff in, when it then surfaces, you know, behind closed doors and, you know, passive aggressively through the media, that's when it becomes a problem on football teams. But, you know, it's a passionate game. It's a hard game. It's an emotional game. And when you get after it on the sidelines, when you let your emotions out, you kind of just done with them. You do it and then you move on. There's no real hangover from it. So I was encouraged by that because Aaron's MO the last couple years has been to kind of smirk and not say anything, not really have conflict, outward conflict with his teammates and with his head coach, and then go to the media with it. So I thought this was good.
All right, last thing. The New Orleans Saints are without Drew Brees for what's at least 6 weeks. They do have Teddy Bridgewater. Bridgewater's been okay, replacing him end of last year, week 17, of course. Yesterday was okay, 17 of 35, 165 yards, but they lost, couldn't score any points. How big in your mind is the drop-off?
Well, I think you're losing one of the greatest players ever played football, so it's a drop-off. But I don't think it's catastrophic. I do think Teddy is a really good football player, and I think with the way they've built this offense, I mean, Sean Payton's re-engineered this offense over the last couple years. It is a run-first, intermediate passing game, ball-control type offense with some really good players. So some players that can take runs, Kamara, and turn them into big plays. Thomas, you know, who can maybe a big play receiver on a short pass. They got guys that are good conflict catchers, so they play well in tight coverage. They'll still march the ball. They'll still score some points. They can weather this storm. I'm not on the Saints are dead bandwagon by any stretch of the imagination. I think that they can weather the storm. I'm not saying they're going to go undefeated during it. I'm not saying Teddy is Drew Brees, but because of the way the offense is built, because they're playing better defense these days, because they're better on special teams, they'll still be a good football team. Their ceiling is just a little lower with Teddy Bridgewater.
At LA Mustang FB, that's Lipscomb Academy, their head coach is Trent Dilfer, he's a Super Bowl champion. He joins us weekly to break down the quarterback position. TD, great stuff, man. Talk to you next week.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
To me, the NFL has 10 teams that are done. They are finished. It is over. Right? What's that drop you usually play? It's over, Johnny. Right? That's what it feels like. You know, that's
it's
the thing.
It's over, Johnny.
In college football, you lose two games, and college football always operated on this premise like, hey, every weekend matters. Like, nah, lots of games. Bunch of games this weekend didn't matter. Didn't. Did not matter. Why? Because you lost a game, or at some point you're gonna lose a game, and some teams lose one game and they're done, some teams lose two, and they are finished. They are washed. They are done. But in the NFL, like, I like Mason Rudolph. He's a great dude. The Steelers are already 0-2, and now they have a first-time starter in Mason Rudolph who's going to replace Ben Roethlisberger? Like, stop it. The Bengals are 0-2. We didn't expect that much of the Bengals. The Jags lost Nick Foles. They're also 0-2. And now Jalen Ramsey's trying to fight their head coach. The Jets don't have Sam Darnold for several weeks. They're all banged up, and they're the Jets. The Cardinals are 0-1. But if you've seen the Cardinals, they simply don't have a very good defense, and their offense is interesting. Right? They're not winning that division, not going to the playoffs. The Redskins, their best quarterback is sitting next to their owner, and he may never play quarterback again. The Dolphins are one of the worst teams we've ever seen, and the Broncos are already 0-2, losing at home to the Chicago Bears in a division which gives you the charge to the Kansas City Chiefs, like, and they already lost in division to the Raiders. That's 10 teams. I'm not even counting the Panthers, who are 0-2, and they have two home losses, and we have no idea if Cam Newton makes it through a whole season, right? Still doesn't look totally right physically. That's 11. That's one third of the league. And I'd be more willing to commit to those teams being done than knowing who's going to win it. But eliminating a third of the teams, like, ooh. That's how fragile it is. That's how much quarterback injuries hurt you. But that's also the reality of the sport.